Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Would you guys stand as we begin with some worship this morning? We're going to teach you guys a new song, although some of you have probably heard it. It's called The Lion and the Lamb, and the song is all about praising God for who he says he is, and it culminates in this really cool rhetoric line in the bridge where we ask, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Some of you, if you listen to the radio, you've probably heard this. But if not, I'm going to teach it to you guys right now. We're going to sing the chorus once before we bring the whole band in. It goes like this.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Yes, our God is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him.
We'll sing, he's coming on the clouds.
Clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring.
Roaring with power and fighting.
spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me. Till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Your foe.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no
Let's believe this as we sing.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing, there's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain. mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, fire you won't tear down, coming after me.
Can we just believe that for a second?
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy.
What patience?
What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. Mercy is more.
Amen. Amen.
See if I can juggle all this stuff. Test, test. Good morning. You can have a seat real quick. Test, test. Can you hear me?
Here you go.
Morning. My name's Ryan. I'm one of your elders, and we get to do something very special this morning that has been occurring in this sanctuary for 133 years. We get to come together and celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection by taking communion together. And it's a pretty powerful thing, and sometimes we miss the power that is involved in remembering what Christ has done for us. And we make a statement when we do it. I'm going to read real quickly out of 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, therefore, and so eat the bread and drink the cup." What an amazing thing that we get to do. Again, 133 years. Our forefathers, the people in this church, have been remembering the Lord's death and resurrection right here, and we get to do it together as a family. So if you don't have the cup, why don't you grab one? Should have got it. And then you got to do the trick that we have now. Have we all learned the new trick without spilling it on yourself? Two little separate things. Now, as we take this, what are we actually saying? We're saying that Jesus' sacrifice was enough. Anybody come in here with burdens today, a rough week? You can lay it down at the cross, and he is sufficient. Anybody come in here with victories and wonderful week? You can lay it down at the cross, because he is sufficient. So let's take the bread and the cup together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that you've given to us. Thank you that we get to share it together and declare your greatness. When you drank the cup of the wrath of God that we deserved and shed your blood for us so that we could live in freedom, so that we can say all things work together for good, that for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you did. And we remember that this morning together as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you guys stand and sing as we respond in worship?
Thank you.
You guys can be seated.
Amen. So good to be with my family this morning. Thank you for joining us. If you're new here, we have coffee cups for you and chocolate at the same time. It's amazing. And so we would encourage you when you leave, go to the info desk, and we're going to have one of our own there who would love to meet you and to give you that gift. We are in Luke's gospel this morning, as we have been for a while. We are in Luke chapter 23 as we look at God's Son, whom he does not spare, but he delivers him up for us all. We're looking at the trial of Jesus. The trial is coming to an end. Luke 23, and as you're turning there, and we'll look at that in a moment. Couple of things that I want you to make note of this week. Right after the second service, we do have some opportunities for you to make Jesus known to children, to this community, with a number of summer events that we are hosting. And so we're going to have a planning and strategy meeting after the service. The information is in your bulletin. And then this Thursday, as I mentioned last week, if you are married or you want to stay married, we have a marriage refresh night for you. It's a great date night, couple of hours out here, food, folks, fun. It's going to be great. So please plan on being here. So we're looking at the trial of Jesus. And what have we been saying about this trial? We have said that not only is God on trial, we are too. It exposes us. Jesus is vindicated as righteous. We're exposed to all the subtle ways that our unbelief works in our lives. We are seeing a mirror of that when we look at the Sanhedrin, who, I mean, they struggle with submitting to the authority of Jesus. So do we. As we look at Pilate, who struggles with whose approval he really wants, is it Caesar or Christ's approval? We struggle with whose approval that we want at the end of the day. When we look at Herod, who struggles with whose pleasure he thinks is ultimately satisfying, so do we. And now as we have the crowds gathered together, we'll see that in the passage, and there is presented to them two paths, two ways of salvation, and they opt for an alternative to Jesus. Come to find out, so do we. The Bible says all of us like sheep have gone astray, each one of us to our own way. However, here's the good news. The Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus to give us his righteousness. And as we are exposed this morning, as we see more of ourselves, may we be driven to the sufficiency of Jesus, the acceptance of Jesus, the joy and the life of Jesus. With that in mind, let's look at our passage. We're going to pick up in verse 12 from last week. Remember, Jesus stands before Herod, sent by Pilate to Herod to affirm his assessment that Jesus, he's not that bad. Herod, although he's disappointed, sends Pilate back, also with an affirmation that Jesus isn't guilty of what the Jews have declared. And so Jesus comes back to Pilate, and we read in verse 13, as the trial culminates, Pilate then called together the chief priests, verse 13, and the rulers of the people, the rulers and the people. So now we have the crowds assembly. Verse 14, and he said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. But they all cried out together, away with this man and release to us Barabbas. Away with Jesus. Give us Barabbas. A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressing them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to him, you can hear a tone of desperation, "Why